This week's episode of the Water Rush Podcast brought to you by BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment free when you use the promo code ANIMAL. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code ANIMAL.
Hey, this is WWE Hall of Famer from the Legion of Doom, Road Warrior Animal, and you are listening to the Creative Control Network. Get ready for a great show. Tell them, Hawk!
He's one half of the Road Warriors and the Legion of Doom, the most successful tag team in the world of professional wrestling. He's held the AWA, NWA, WCW, and WWF titles. He snacked on danger and dined on death. He's Road Warrior Animal, Joe Laurinaitis, and this is the What a Rush Podcast. Now, here's your host, Joe Roderick.
It's Friday, that means it's time for another episode of the What a Rush Podcast with your Hall of Fame host. He is Road Warrior Animal, Joe Laurinaitis. What's going on, man?
Joe, how you doing? It's a nice 60 degrees. What temp do you like?
I like it in the 90s. I like getting just hot and sweaty. I love that weather.
Bro, I like it a little cooler. You know, of course, I don't like, you know, all those years I lived in Minnesota. I don't like it that cold. That's ridiculous, you know, 40, 50 below zero. But I don't mind the 60 degree, 70 degree weather.
I'm never going back to Minnesota ever. I'm never, ever. I don't know how you live there. I don't know how you did it. I'm never going back there again.
Bro, that was the most brutal Super Bowl that I've ever seen. Walking from that parking lot to the Mall of America doors, which is only about 200 yards, freaking at 6 below zero, was he freaking, I don't know why anybody lives in that state.
Don't get me started on that. Like, you were there for the good days. I feel like you were there for the warm days back in January. We were, like, there was one night where we had to walk a mile. We went from one concert to another on that Saturday night, and the Ubers and the cabs and everything were just so miserable because of all the snow and ice that we ended up walking a mile to get to the concert. And then realized the concert that we went to didn't have free booze. So, you know, yeah.
So you went to you had to pay for the booze.
We didn't pay for it. We just didn't drink. Like, we just hung out all night and sobered up in the negative 5-degree weather that they have there in Minnesota. Oh, God, it was miserable. But, hey, this year I'm already booked. I'm all good to go. It's in Atlanta. The Super Bowl's in Atlanta this year. I'm going to be heading down there for that again here in a few months. I think we're about 3+ months away. I'm doing my NFL show every Sunday on 590 The Fan KFNS here in St. Louis, and I am in full football mode now that the Cardinals baseball season is done. And today on the show, it's a bittersweet show today. We'll get into it here in about 5 to 10 minutes or so, but we'll get into everything. It's Friday, October 19th, 15 years ago today, Joe, you received a phone call telling you that your tag team partner, your brother for so many years in the wrestling ring, Mike Hegstrand, Hawk, had passed away, and we are doing a show all about Hawk today. This is the first time that we've done a show 100% on Hawk, and to do it on the anniversary of his untimely passing, it's going to be. I'm hoping it'll be a perfect tribute to him. So we will get into that. But before we do that, we got a lot of business to tend to. First off on the list, it is our sponsor this week. Hey, they're back for round two, Joe. It is Blue Chew. And if you want to go a second round with your wife or girlfriend or both, it's Blue Chew. They need. It's the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. The same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And Joe, we were talking all about it last week. Blue Chew is the way to go.
Well, you know, bro, you know, in today's wrestling world, you know, what's in real big is the male versus female wrestling matches, right? So if you go 2 out of 3 falls, you definitely will need your Blue Chew to get you through that second fall.
It's your own mixed match challenge in the bedroom.
In the four corners, the four posts of the bedroom, you're going to need blue chew to help you get through the night. But you know what I mean? It gives you extra stamina. Well, from what I hear, Joe, you need to try that blue chew.
Yeah, it's and you know what? We're running a special again. If you go to bluechew.com, that's BLUECHEW.com, and you use the promo code ANIMAL, you will get your first shipment for free. For free. You pay the $5 shipping, and you get the Blue Chew for free. Give her that doomsday device in the bedroom and get yourself some of that Blue Chew.
ANIMAL. Oh, what a rush.
And that's what she will be saying when you give her that blue chew, get her with that hot tag in the
bedroom. Yeah, get her with the hot tag, and then you will have, oh, what a blush on your face.
Hey, speaking of tag matches, a big weekend for you. So you and I, we're going to actually see each other. I'm sure people that are listening to the podcast, and if you listen to a lot of different podcasts, you can tell that when we're together, when we're in the same room, you can tell when we're doing it over the phone or over the computer. We've been, over the last few months, we've been able to do it via the internet. We've been lucky enough. We've upgraded some of our equipment. We've been doing it online. But tomorrow, we're actually going to be hanging out tomorrow night at Glory Pro Wrestling. It is their unsanctioned show. No New Friends versus the New World Order. Scott Norton, Buff Bagwell, Sean Waltman, or X-Pac as you know him, will be there. And Joe, you're going to be there too. So anybody that's in the St. Louis area, it's tomorrow night at Pops Nightclub in Sauget. You're going to be there signing autographs, hanging out. I'm going to be there doing the play-by-play. And maybe we get you in there for a match. Maybe we bring you along and we talk to you for a match if we can talk you into sticking around. But I'm sure that you're going to be enjoying your time with your friends from the New World Order.
Yeah, it'd be great to see those guys. You know, Scott Norton and Bagwell and X-Pac are all great friends of mine. And, you know, maybe we get a podcast or two out of the guys. You know, I don't like to impose too much because I know when you go to work, you know, it's – you're already there to do a job. You don't want to have to do two jobs. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But we'll see what we can do. And, you know, it'd be great to see him. But I doubt if I'm going to get in the ring. But maybe. You never know.
When was the last time you saw Norton?
I saw Norton. I think it was at WrestleCade or somewhere like that. I saw Norton last time. Or it could be WrestleCon. No, I saw him at WrestleCon.
Okay. I was going to say, I know the – yeah, I don't think I've met Scott Norton yet. So I'm looking forward to meeting him tomorrow. And just,
well, you know, undoubtedly, Joe, at one time, the strongest man ever in pro wrestling. I mean, he was a 765 bencher. You know what I mean? Jeez. And Norton was just a beast. And, you know, they were doing their special on Hawk today. Horton, Norton, and Hawk were high school buddies.
Yeah.
And, you know, they grew up in grade school and high school together, and they've been good friends ever since. They bounced together at the bars. I bounced with those guys. So it's going to be surreal seeing Scotty.
Yeah, and I just, you know, the arm wrestling background that he had and just the size of those arms for Scott Norton. I'm looking forward to meeting him tomorrow and seeing those guys in the ring. So after that's done, you are going, I'm guessing, are you driving to Nashville this weekend or are you flying down over there?
Yeah, no, man, it's a short drive. I'm going to drive down to Nashville and hang out and do that big NWA show with Billy Corgan's putting on there. And stuff like that. And, you know, hey, there's a lot of great things going on there. I'm going to get involved somehow. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag yet, but we'll see what happens.
Well, it's already, yeah, you will be there with, you're going to be there with some buddies of yours that's already been announced, right? I don't know what you're doing, but we know who you're going to be there with.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be there with a couple guys walking down the ring and seeing how they pan out to see if they're, you know, quite frankly, qualified to be led to the ring by me, to be honest with you.
Nice.
You know, because, you know, everybody knows what Hawk and I did for tag team wrestling. And then there's going to be a big announcement about a big tag team event coming up. And okay. I'm going to be part of that announcement. So we'll see. The NWA fans will be glad to see what's going on.
Okay, good. I didn't want to overstep anything or step on any toes. I don't know about this. So I'm excited now. to see that. And plus, we do want to give a mention, your friend Jeff Jarrett, he runs that new Fight TV, company. Not only can you watch the NWA show on Fight TV, you can also watch all of the Glory Pro shows on Fight TV. You can't watch those live. You can't watch the Glory Pro stuff live. It usually comes out a week later. But, you know, we'll let people know. If you somehow end up on the, in front of the camera tomorrow night, we'll let the people know that they need to do that. But if they want to hear me do play-by-play for wrestling, they can also go to Fight TV and find Glory Pro and get to... I want to be critiqued. I want to know how good of a job I'm doing because, quite frankly, I've never done wrestling before. I've done 3 shows now for Glory Pro. Before that, I used to do high school and college play-by-play, but that was 10 years ago, so I was very rusty when I started doing this. And I gotta tell you what, man, I'm having a hell of a time. I'm having a lot of fun doing the play-by-play for the wrestling. It's you know, you really get to have a lot of fun with it. That's what I've learned from this, is that you do get to enjoy yourself calling the play-by-play.
Yeah, man, and Fight TV is growing like crazy. You got All Japan, yep, and New Japan, and a couple of the wrestling Mexican wrestling companies are on there, mm-hmm, and as well as Glory Pro Wrestling, and you know, Jeff Jarrett's a big part of that, and so is Sonny Illinois. So you know, as well as the programming part of it. So yeah, man, Fight TV is growing. A lot of wrestling companies, a lot of indie companies are on Fight TV, and they're growing like crazy.
Yeah, so that's gotten all the business out of the way. We will now.
Except for Blue Chew, round 2.
That's round 2, sponsoring another week of the show, of the Water Rush podcast. We are happy to have Blue Chew on. If you want to be a Blue Chew warrior, you need to get to bluechew.com, bluechew.com, and use the promo code ANIMAL. And check out the offer they have. You get your first order for free. You just pay that $5 in shipping to get your Blue Chew. And Joe, when you use that Blue Chew, what's she gonna be yelling in the bedroom?
Oh, what a rush! Give me a round 2.
And speaking of oh, what a rush, we move on to this week's episode. The man that made that phrase famous, Mike Hegstrand. Road Warrior Hawk, born January 26, 1957. He passed away October 19th, 2003. Joe, we've talked about, you know, when we were up in Minnesota, we talked about when you guys, you know, had, you know, first kind of put the team together. When we were there with Barry Darso, we talked about how, you know, how you guys came to meet. And we've talked about the beginnings. We've talked about the middle. But we've heard, you know, we've heard a lot of your stories. We've heard a lot of stories from other guys, and I felt that we needed to go out and hear other people's stories. And I wanted you to hear the stories that other people told, not only about Hawk, but you and Hawk. Because, I mean, you know it. I mean, when you mention Hawk, you have to mention Animal. When you mention Animal, you have to mention Hawk. You guys were peanut butter and jelly. You were 2 peas in a pod.
Yeah, man, there were the Road Warriors without Animal, without Hawk, and without each other. We were just normal guys. You know what I mean? Although we both could have wrestled singles competition, but the money and putting butts in seats was the name of the game. You know, and the things we achieved, like, you know, being the only tag team ever to win pretty much every tag team championship there is in pro wrestling. You know, and the big three, you know, the AWA, NWA, and WWF. You know, it's something that will never be done again, will never be even challenged again. And man, it's great to do with a guy like Hawk. I mean, he was definitely one of a kind, one of the best voices, one of the best promo guys in wrestling. And we just fed off each other, man. It was like, if I could explain it, it was like we were 2 guys in 1. I knew what he was going to say. He knew what I was going to say. We knew how to wrap things up. We knew how to feed off each other, which is very rare in this business.
Let me, you know, what you were saying with that, I've had that happen in my world. I'll put it in my, you know, I'll try to, you know, give an idea in the radio world. I have worked with co-hosts where it's just been miserable. You there's no chemistry there. You can't feed off each other. But then there's other people where it's just you hit right away and you know that things are going to work. And that was you guys in the wrestling ring. You guys got in that ring. You did what you need to do, and it was over like hell. It was so over. And I like that you use the phrase you put the butts in the seats, because the first guy that we're going to hear from right now is a guy that we've had on the show, a guy that we did a one of the best episodes of the Water Rush podcast with, and that was Kevin Sullivan. And when I asked him to talk about Hawk, Joe, here's what he had to say.
So I lost. You talk about losing a territory, right? I lost Dusty Rhodes. I was the booker, and I became the booker after he left. I lost Dusty Rhodes. I lost Mike Rotunda. I lost Blackjack Mulligan. I lost Barry Windham. I lost Black Bart. I lost Ron Bass. I lost Scott McGee. Terry Allen. And I was left with the guys that were breaking into the Chalice. So the company was in dire straits, and they said, we need to draw $100,000. And Mark Murray. And Mark said to me, well, I know how to do it, but it's going to get us a little with the studios. So I asked Mark how it was, so how to do it, so he gave me an idea. I sent it to Hero and Duke, and they needed this money to keep afloat. They probably would have shot it down any other time, do you know what I'm saying? The angle was, I took a big Perrier bottle and taped it up, and Blackjack, we hit the ring against Barry and Kendall. This is just as the week before they're leaving. And I took a bottle and smacked it and stuck it in Blackjack's face. Well, Jack was a guy of honor. He knew to do the right thing. I mean, he was full of blood. It was just horrible looking. So they bring in the Warriors, and they say, we have to draw $100,000. And in that territory, we drew $100,000. You know, it wasn't uncommon, but you're not going to draw it with me and Liz, I didn't think. You know what I mean? I thought we'd come close. But that angle got over, and they sent in the promos and Joe's promo, of course, you know, and then, what do you say, Hawk? Well, I mean, that's all you had to do, right? And we had never taken bumps for anybody. And I had worked with Arthur, and I didn't realize. And I got a little heat over it until the guys were smart enough to understand I was 5'8". If I'm taking a bump for someone 6'1 or 6'2, how would I ever work with Blackjack Mulligan and Andre the Giant if I'm bumping around? And I was supposed to be the ultimate evil. So we're in the ring first, and they came out, and we were in Orlando, and I couldn't believe the house. And they got Hawk in, you know, huge to nausea. I wrote about their pop. They got one of them. And we're doing this thing, but before we went out, I have 1 week left for Blackjack. And he said, you better not be taking these bumps from these guys, because you don't take bumps from me, right? And Hawk does this comeback and he shoots me and he goes to give me a flying tackle, but I see Mulligan watching the match, right? So I pull up short and Hawk falls on his face. So I get spit on him, and we go back in the dressing room in Orlando. People couldn't see. It was just a rodeo barn. And it was, the back was way spray with curtains, actually a fake wall. And Hawk came over and he was pissed. And he said, what was that about? And I said, listen, I told him a story. I said, well, the Jews, and something like that. And I said, I'll tell you what. I was in a bad predicament. I knew may end up fighting me, and Mulligan may end up fighting me if I took the bump. I took the chances with you rather than Mulligan. And he looked at me and said, Good choice. Good choice. When Hawk and I were friends forever, he was one of the sweetest guys in the wrestling business. And I always say this: the wrestling business eats its young. And Hawk should have been around forever. He was one of those guys. He was too tough, too mean to die young. And I miss him to this day. I miss Hawk to this day. And we became friends. And, you know, we would hang together. And he was just a funny son of a gun. We were in Hawaii a couple of times. He was just so funny. And I used to kid him because I had pretty big legs back in those days. And I said to him, you look like a pelican or a flamingo. And he turned to me and said, yeah, but this is an upper body business. He's just a great, great guy. And if you ask me, and I think I'm in the majority of people that have been around and seen a lot of tag teams, they were the greatest of all times. By far. By far.
Joe, that was your friend Kevin Sullivan on Hawk.
Yeah, man. You know, I remember that match. And, you know, you know, Kevin was great. He's right. He didn't bump for very many guys, you know, except for Mulligan. But I'm sure he forgot to tell you, alluded to the fact that we did bump him. Maybe on that particular move he didn't go down, but we did bump him. And he sold for us, too, which was great. Because when he did sell it for us, it meant something. You know, he and Mark Lewin. Because Mark Lewin at one time was a big son of a gun.
Right.
You know, and he was right, man. Hawk died way too young. And unfortunately, you know, he was a victim of circumstance. You know, Hawk, there was no secret. He liked to party a little bit. And, you know, but he was a great guy. One of the best interviews in the business. You know, we just flowed together real good in and out of promos, you know. I was be the straight shooter, you know, hey, we're going to kick your face in, kick your teeth down your throat, tell him Hawk, well, you know, and you know, it worked out well that way for both of us, you know. Yeah, man, it was great working with Kevin, man. Kevin's one of the greatest minds in the pro wrestling business. I don't know how any company, whether it's the new NWA starting with Dave Logano or any guys, how any company would not want to use Kevin Sullivan or myself behind the scenes. Kevin Sullivan especially is one of the best minds in this business. And any company that doesn't hire him are a fool. And if they don't hire a guy like that, it's because of jealousy. You know, that's how much respect I got for Kevin Sullivan.
And he's I've gotten to meet him on a few occasions now too, and he is kind, and just talking wrestling to him is an experience like none other. Hey, next up is a longtime friend of yours who also has his own podcast. It is Bill Apter, who we ran into up at StarCast a few weeks ago. You can find his podcast on theapterchat.com, and it's a guy that you have a long history with. Here is what he had to say about Hawk.
The first thing that I think about when somebody asks me about Hawk from the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, is one of the interviews that Craig Peters, who was one of the editors of the Pro Wrestling Illustrated family of magazines, and I did on TBS during the old Georgia Championship Wrestling days. We did the Pro Wrestling Illustrated press conference. And the way that Hawk and Animal could ad-lib, but it was Hawk who coined a phrase when he called me something on one of those interviews, and I think you could probably find it on YouTube. I had asked him some sort of a question, and he looked at me with this almost disgusted look, and this is what he said: "Apter, you little gerbil-faced twit." That's what he said. That's what he called me. And I remember for ages, even today, people come over and they'll imitate that line: "You gerbil-faced twit." And he could ad-lib so easily. You just had to give him an idea, and he would just run with it. The other thing I remember so well about him is something that not a lot of people talk about, but on the personal end, he had this wonderful warm streak. If kids wanted to talk to him or wanted an autograph or wanted to have their photo taken with him, you could see him. He would just melt. He loved that. And all the things that we did for Hawk and Animal in the magazines, he always called, and so did Animal, always called afterwards to say thank you. Not a lot of the guys did that. And whenever he'd see me, he'd put those great big arms around me and say, "Hey, Billy, I love you. Thanks for doing everything." So, yeah, that warm side of Hawk, I'll never forget. And lastly, I'll never forget one night. It was, and I don't remember where it was. It was in one of the outdoor stadiums for the Great American Bash. Several of us in the photography pool had taken Hawk and Animal out to eat at a Chinese restaurant. And during his match, Hawk just looked at me and one of the other photographers and said, "I'm not feeling very good. That meal wasn't good." And he just let it go right in the photography area. I never forgot that. Miss you very much, Hawk. And this is your favorite gerbil-faced twit, Bill Apter, reporting.
He threw up on the photographers during a match, Joe?
Yeah, it was the photographers had their own dugout, and he threw up in the photographer dugout is what he did. And, Hawk made that line, the gerbil-faced twit. When he first said it, I cracked up so loud, Hawk got mad at me. But, Bill Apter was an integral part in helping the Road Warriors get to where we are. He and Craig Peters, we did so many photo ops with those guys. They followed us around everywhere. We were on front cover of every wrestling magazine for about 10 years. Tag team of the year, tag team of the decade, tag team of the century, all sorts of stuff, man. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, you can find his podcast, theafterchat.com, is where you can find it online. And Joe, I know he told me a few times that he wants to have you on very soon. So I that's, and we'll have him on here very soon for a full episode of the What a Rush podcast. But I just to speak on the relationship of you and Bill Apter, when he saw you up in Chicago, just ran over to you, and he was so excited to see you up there. You could tell the relationship you guys have goes really deep.
Well, yeah, Bill hit the nail right on the head. A lot of guys don't really appreciate the job that the photographers and the magazines do for you, because everything's such an internet-based business today. And, more guys should go out of the way to say thank you and be appreciative, because without those guys, you wouldn't even be a star.
Yep. Hey, you. It's funny, nice transition here. Bill Apter talks about the creation of Gerbil Face Twit. We spoke with another man who has a podcast, probably the most popular podcast in all of the wrestling world, Bruce Pritchard. Brother Love took some time to share his thoughts on Hawk, or really, mostly the mind of Mike Hegstrand.
Well, when you look back and you think of Road Warrior Hawk, I think that people automatically go right to, "What a rat." And promos, and they think of the Legion of Doom. They think of everything. Don't know about and have missed over the years is that Mike Hegstrand, Road Warrior Hawk, was also the pastor that you would ever want to come across. And I always have to go back to two of the talents, some of the most successful talent in WWE history anyway, came from the screwed up mind of Mike Hegstrand. He had at one point where Matt Bourne was at an event as Matt Bourne, and Matt had worked, and Matt was finished up with his match. He was sitting backstage with all sweaty after the fact, had a cigarette kind of dangling from the top lip, and just miserable as he could possibly be, when hair all down and sweaty and look, he's Krusty the Clown. And Krusty the Clown, of course, being of the Simpsons fame, a miserable, nasty clown and what have you. And, but that is how Doink was born. When sharing this story, I'm not sure Vince knew exactly who Krusty the Clown was at the time, but he looked at Matt and he did see a clown. He saw somebody that could be this miserable old clown, but it came from a German idea from Mike Hegstrand, kind of pointing out the miserable, nasty clown aspects of the human being, Matthew Bourne. And clown himself was born. And the second one was when we had Percy Pringle come in, and Percy came into the territory, and I wasn't leaving, at least I didn't know I was leaving at the time, but I was going to stop managing The Undertaker as Brother Love. And we were looking for someone to manage The Undertaker. We decided it was going to be Percy, but obviously Vince didn't want to use the name Percy Pringle to manage The Undertaker. Didn't really want to use Bill Moody. And Mike Hegstrand, while taking a shit in a stall, said, "Hey, how about Paul Bearer?" In one of the most iconic superstars, characters of the wrestling industry was born with Mike Hegstrand's, "Hey, what about Paul Bearer?" And Paul Bearer became the mouthpiece and manager for The Undertaker. And there you have it. Those are my two favorite Road Warrior Hawk stories that tell him and show him in a little bit different light. I'm sure you get a lot of crazy stuff and weird things, but those are the most endearing ones. Always loved Mike and miss him still today.
Bruce Pritchard with his thoughts.
Yeah, man. I mean, Bruce and Hawk spent a lot of time together, of course. A lot of time. Hawk had a great mind for the business. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, Hawk helped The Undertaker with his very first promo.
Really?
Yeah. And, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, one of the songs from Ozzy Osbourne, you know, because Hawk was a big Ozzy Osbourne fan and, and stuff like that. So, I mean, Hawk had a great mind for that kind of stuff, just taking things and off the whim, just thinking of stuff. And most of the time it worked. And whatever he said off the wall that was crazy worked in our gimmick, that's for sure. So
yeah, he definitely said some off the wall stuff when when you guys were together. The one that always sticks out to me is when he sticks his finger up his nose and he pulls it out, and again, who was he comparing the guy to? A booger that he just picked.
It may have been Greg Gagne.
God.
Yeah, he also told Greg Gagne, he said, "Greg Gagne, when you were a kid, your mother never took the plunger out of the bathtub when you were taking a bath in fear you would go down the drain." and stuff like that, you know. "You look at this bigger booger of my finger, Greg Gagne. It's bigger than you are." You know, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It was kind of great.
We've touched on it, I think, briefly here and there about kind of the final few years that Hawk was around, that he became a changed man. I think we touched on it a lot during our Lex Luger episode when we had Lex on, and he was talking about being born again and just kind of some of the changes that he made to his life. And Hawk did that as well at the end. So we were able to catch up with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, who everybody knows now is, you know, he goes around and he gives the sermons. He's born again. And he just does so much now from the Christian standpoint. And Ted DiBiase spoke about, he spoke about Hawk in the ring, and then Hawk towards the final few years.
Well, I tell you what, I've known a lot of guys in the wrestling business, and Hawk was one of a kind. People have often asked, you know, like with wrestling as show business, like who's really, you know, one of the toughest guys. I mean, you know, and I would always say, you know what, if you had to walk down a dark alley, and there was going to be all, you know, like 20 people down that alley that were all looking to take you out, if you could only have one guy with you, who would it be? and I said Mike Hegstrand. I mean, Hawk had a huge heart, and he was as tough as they come, and he lived. Of course, he lived hard. He lived a hard life too, and you know, I guess my best story about Hawk is that he came to a place of turning it around. You know, he kept getting back up. You know, we all know that he had drug issues in his life and a lot of ones. I mean, a funny story and Animal will laugh about that. We wrestled him at Wembley Stadium in London, you know, one of the biggest 80,000 people, and we're the World Tag Team title match, and we're supposed to go on near the end, and because Hawk had taken some pills, you know, Animal wasn't sure he was going to be awake or conscious by the time our match came around, so Vince had to put us on real early, and so that's just, you know, it's funny now looking back at it, you know, but my best story with Hawk is after he got saved, after he came to know Jesus Christ as Lord Savior, you know, Hawk and Animal both came out to a thing that I've been going to for years called Athletes International Ministries out in Phoenix, Arizona. And one of the things they would do occasionally is they would take us, you know, out to a prison to speak to inmates. And so now this is, Hawk had just gotten saved. He had just become a Christian. He's a baby Christian. And so, you know, they came along, and I, you know, I've been speaking for some time, so I spoke and whatever. And Hawk's like, he says, can I get up and say something? Can I tell these guys something? I'm like, okay, man, the floor is yours. And so he gets up there, he strikes a pose and shows them his guns, right? And he says, you think these are big? And they all went, yeah. He goes, that's not big. And he goes, Animal, show them your guns. And he, you know, another great big pose by Animal. You think those are big? And they go, yeah. And he goes, no, those aren't big. And now, we had the guy who's like the number one arm wrestling champion in the world. Great big, massive arms. He says, brother, strike a pose. And so he shows him his guns. You think those are big? And they all, yeah, there's, you know, that's it. He said, you know, that's not big. And then he holds up the Bible. He said, this is big, brother. He couldn't, he just got saved. I mean, 2 days prior to that. And I couldn't have done it better. I couldn't have done it any better. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. You know, basically in his own way, what he was saying was all that stuff, you know, the muscles, the way you look, and all the world has to offer you. You think all that stuff's meaningful, and in reality, it really isn't. But the truth is in the Bible, and it's the biggest thing you could have. That's what he was saying, and he said it in such a great way. And that's the one story taught that I'll never forget.
You know, that's something that a lot of people don't. They probably never saw or heard about that side of Hawk.
No, man, and I think what else Hawk did that day too was that he walked inside the prison and he said, okay, who's the toughest SOB in here? And he goes, I'll show you that you're not. And you know, and I mean, he literally said that to the inmates as we were in prison. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, are we going to get shanked or what? You know, so I didn't know what was going to happen. But yeah, man, Hawk was, he definitely, you know, the great race of life, he definitely finished that race strong at the end.
When did, what year was it? Do you remember when it was that happened or how that came to be? When he made the choice to make that change?
Yeah, man, it was like in the late 90s, I think. And I was going down there and taking my family down there, and Hawk said, hey, I got a booking. And I said, well, I can't do the booking. I'm going somewhere that weekend. He goes, where are you going? That's more important than making money. I said, well, here's where I'm going. He goes, let me call you right back. Call me back. And he goes, can my wife Dale and I go? And I said, yeah, he called the pastor. He called the pastor, and he got invited. And that's what Teddy was talking about. He had gotten saved on that Saturday, and then by that Monday, we were in the prison talking to kids.
Wow. That's – and yeah,
that fast.
That's, and you know, that a lot of people don't know that that's where he was when things ended. You've talked about it before. I mean, you go back, people need to go back, the new listeners need to go back and listen to Lex Luger episode, because I'd say the final 15-20 minutes of that is just the two of you guys talking about the changes you both made in your lives towards the end of your career.
Well, you have to, man. You can't keep living that hard, stressful life, because you have injuries like I had, you know, broken my back, and then Luger with the things he went through in life and having to fight through adversity. You know, you get a whole new outlook on things, and Hawk was at that crossroads and he had to make a change too, you know.
And finally, we wrap things up here with with one more story, and this is one that I haven't heard yet either, opposed to the other ones. And that's Rachel Ellering, who you guys knew from, well, the moment that she was born, and still you see her today. You see her a few times a year. You guys keep in touch with her. I know your daughters keep in touch as well. Or I should say your daughter keeps in touch with her as well.
That's her. Yeah, no, they do. They do.
Yeah.
Without Blue Chew.
Correct. Yes. You said that. I didn't. That was a weird way to go with that. weird way to go. But here I asked Rachel Ellering to give a story about Hawk, and here was what she had to say.
Hey guys, this is Rachel Ellering, and I am here to share one of my favorite stories about my Uncle Hawk. It's very hard to choose just one, of course, because he was such a kind, you know, giving, caring, special man. But this one really stands out to me, and I think you'll enjoy it. In 2003, the Road Warriors had a show in Chicago, and my siblings and I were there, and of course we were decked out in our Road Warriors gear, and I made a sign for my Uncle Hawk. And when his opponents came out, one of the guys ripped up my sign. And keep in mind, I'm 10, 11 years old, so that is devastating, and that has scarred me my whole life. And so after the show, we were waiting by the locker room for the guys to come out, and my Uncle Hawk comes out, and he said, "Hey, somebody owes you an apology." And he brings out the guy that ripped up my sign and made him apologize to me. And that really, really stuck with me, because my Uncle Hawk would not let anybody mess with us. And he cared about us so much. He cared about so many people so much. You know, that's who he was. He had such a big heart, and we miss him every single day. I so badly wish that he could be here to see me now as a 25-year-old adult and hear me talk about that story now and see how that influenced me. And now maybe one day I can, you know, tell somebody, "Hey, don't rip up a sign or two." But that is one of my favorite stories about my Uncle Hawk. I hope you guys enjoy hearing all of these and can remember him and all the great things that he did and the great person that he was. Thanks, guys.
I'd be terrified if I did something like that to piss off a man as big as you were, Hawk.
Well, you know, I mean, that's a great tribute to Rachel, you know, the greatest upcoming women stars in pro wrestling, along with Tessa Blanchard. I think Rachel never got the just due that she deserved from the WWE, or appreciation from WWE. Maybe because her dad was in there at the time. You never know. Very political business. But Rachel's doing great now. She's wrestled a lot over Japan. And you're right, man. She was about a 10-year-old when we wrestled in the St. Paul Civic Center. No, and in Chicago. She used to go to all the matches everywhere we went. That was close to Minnesota. And I remember that night happening. I forget who it was we were wrestling that ripped up her sign, but which is kind of funny, because here we are, the good guys, and someone that was, you know, a heel had to be the Freebirds, or someone that ripped up her sign probably came out and apologized to her. You know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, especially since they might not have known who it was. They probably just thought it was some kid.
Yeah, I mean, what are you gonna say when Hawk says, "Go out and apologize to her"? You gonna say no? I mean, then you're in a fight, right? So.
So as we wrap things up here, Joe, I can't imagine the emotions that you've gone through while listening to some of these stories and doing this show. I'll give you a chance to talk, give your thoughts on your tag team partner 15 years after his passing.
Well, you know, I think one thing that's amazing is that this many years after his passing, the people still want to hear stories about Animal and Hawk, and especially Hawk. And you know, and this many years after he's gone, right, you know, for 22 years he and I were together, we're still doubted as the greatest tag team of all time and still the number one tag team in the wrestling business today. And we've not even wrestled together for 15 years, which is kind of crazy to me. But, you know, which means we did our business correctly. And hopefully when I'm gone, I have people saying just as nice tributes about me as they're saying about Hawk, because it's well deserved. And he's a great guy, man. Good friend of the family. Sorely missed. And you know, the wrestling business, as we know, the wrestling business lost another great guy in Dick Slater this week, which was another true badass in pro wrestling. But you know, Hawk is sorely missed in this wrestling business. And he and I were together today. There's no doubt we would be involved together doing something in wrestling. That's no brainer.
And that's that'll wrap up our episode this week. We hope to continue telling many Hawk stories and Road Warrior stories in general as the weeks go on. But looking forward to everything that comes out of this weekend. As Animal, we talked about it, you're going to be a busy guy this weekend. Glory Pro Friday night, and then the NWA 70th anniversary show in Nashville this weekend. Plenty of places for wrestling fans to meet you, see you.
Joe, I can hear it right now in Glory Pro. I can hear the chant. It's not going to be LOD. It's going to be Blue Chew, Blue Chew, Blue Chew, Blue Chew.
Ah, Blue Chew.
No, we're going to be in Sauget, Illinois, and you know what happens in Sauget. You know what kind of clubs are around there in Sauget. So a lot of, maybe the folks out there will need some to enjoy themselves after Glory Pro ends around midnight or so, and over on the, what we call it here, the east side.
Yeah, the Blue Chewers. Oh, run and run.
Oh, we'll put all your stuff up online, Animal. We will let people know where they can find you this weekend. And again, Blue Chew, go to bluechew.com, use the promo code Animal, get your first order free. Just pay that $5 shipping and handling, and we will get it out to you. And Joe, again, what will the ladies be saying when you use that Blue Chew with them?
And a tribute to the Hawk Show. Oh, what a rush!